I am Charles and I play bass.
I'm Jack and I play drums.
I'm Harry and I'm the singer and guitarist, and collectively we are White Lies.
Back when you were Fear of Flying and you were just kind of putzing around, did you realize that this was going to turn into more than that?
No, it's quite a strange question when you kind of look at our past, really. Nothing about our musical past has been to do with kind of realizing any kind of ambition or anything like that. We've never really thought too far in the future. We're far too kind of self-obsessed with our own music and songwriting that, you know, our mind is always preoccupied with more immediate issues, you know, playing the next show better than the last and writing the next song better than the last. We're not really you know, career hungry kind of band. We've never thought like that. But it's good that you mentioned you know, our previous band Fear of Flying as a school project, effectively, because that's what it was. And it's often when we're kind of international touring, press and, you know, the media look to kind of UK publications and things for references for our band and seemingly the one we were in before, and it's been completely tortured and twisted out of proportion. I mean, all the people that in the UK that are writing about Fear of Flying now, you know, claim that they write in a way as if they were very aware of us when we were with that band, and as if they were writing about us when we were that band, when we would have paid someone £100 to write an article about us. It never happened, ever. We never had anything written about us, no reviews, no nothing, apart from, you know, really one or two. And so it's this kind of horrible British snobbery that everyone goes like, oh well, I knew them when they were this and that, and it's been blown out of proportion. So every time we come abroad, you know, we have people saying, so, you know, forgive me, I never heard about your, you know, I feel really silly, I never heard about your previous band, you know, but you know, the press that I've read makes it sound like it was a significant, you know, thing, and it really wasn't. So that's the best place to start. That was our training wheels, and White Lies is our first proper band, our first band where we are comfortable and confident in what we're doing and playing properly and taking things seriously, yeah.
And continuing the story, you took a gap year, I guess, before starting university, and that's when Fear of Flying became White Lies, right?
I think it was very near the end of our second gap year. Or was our first?
We don't have gap years. I want you to know that I am very jealous. We have the gap.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have gap years.
Well, so
I'm kind of sad. I didn't get any gap years through university.
Yeah, well, We started Fear of Flying when we were like 15 or 16 years old, I guess. So that was a band that ran through all of our school days, and then yeah, it went into our first gap year, and very near the end of that first gap year, we were becoming very disillusioned by it all, and we were wondering what we were going to do. Like, I mean, I know certainly for myself that I was quite doubtful that university would be the right place for me to go and the right thing to do with my life. And fortunately, we made the, you know, the very wise decision to leave everything that we'd done before as Fear of Flying behind and start a new band, a new project, knowing what we knew from the experiences we'd had as Fear of Flying, and we were able to make a really good start of it and you know, start writing music that we and other people's like really, really believed in and felt the power and the emotion of. And that it sort of all started from there. It all started from the first songs we wrote as White Lies, and you know, since then, that's the reason we're here now. It sort of, that's what starts our journey, I guess.
You had Stephen Street working on your Fear of Flying stuff, and as you said, that still didn't put you over, right?
He's one of our friends, one of our best friends' dads, and he did us a favor by letting us just record some demos with him at the weekend. He, you know, he was a very generous person in that respect. He let us come into his studio, and we learned a lot from that. That was our first recording experience ever. We actually went in for 2 weekends with him at different times, and he always saw huge potential in the band. You know, he's a legendary producer. but a very kind of down to earth and modest man, and you know, was just kind of up for helping out. He's always been supportive, but never kind of, you know, forcing himself on us. He was very, very happy to just help out when we really needed it, and you know, he does his own thing.
Now, to the credit of your label, and I'm talking your British label, I'm talking, you know, that they just sent me a white label, and it said White Lies, and it had the word death on it. But that said, the trajectory here is quite amazing, because this band has not exactly been together for 52 years. You're here and you're on this NME tour and you're saying, you know, and you're probably not saying to yourself, well, we've really made it yet, right?
No, exactly. I mean, it's funny when people mention things about the kind of trajectory of the band and how they see that it's, you know, a lot of people say it's come together really quickly for us over the last year or whatever. And it's a strange one for us to kind of respond to, because, I mean, we don't know any different to this. I mean, this for us is just how it happened. And I'm kind of aware that we've been quite lucky in that, you know, it did all come together quite quickly or whatever, in, compared to what some bands, you know, have to slug away at for ages and ages. But we... again, we kind of look at tours and kind of our career like this, one step at a time, really. So I've never really kind of sat back and looked at it in a kind of graph formation of us kind of rocketing upwards or something, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And also, I mean, also this band has gone quickly, you know, like in terms of we've got a lot of things kind of done that we wanted to do, I imagine, in our first kind of year and a half or so of being White Lies. But again, like we discussed, there was, you know, 6 years of us kind of learning our trade effectively in bedrooms, and you know, there was time before this that kind of all has helped shape what we're doing now. And even though it wasn't something we took very seriously at the time, I mean, I'm sure we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for that, those years that we'd done all that, you know. So it's quite a strange feeling to have people telling us that it's all been going so quickly, because for us it feels like a kind of a lifetime of work kind of paying off in quite a short space of time.
Yeah, and you notice I didn't tell you it went quickly. I wanted to hear how you felt about it.
Well, also I think, you know, a lot of the time that kind of comment comes from other bands, you know, that are kind of sitting there watching, thinking that, you know, I don't know, like there's some kind of smoke and mirrors at work with us, when really, you know, I don't know another band of our status, as in a new band, that work 350 days a year, and we really do. We have done for a year and a half, you know. We don't really get any time off, and, you know, it can be hard at sometimes, but we're also very good workers and we enjoy to work in terms of our writing, recording, you know, rehearsing, playing live, touring. All of that is work, and we, you know, we love to do that. We are really, at the moment, we're working in a way that, you know, like a huge stadium band would in terms of their workload, you know, just not getting time off. Whereas there's a lot of other bands of our, you know, of our level who, you know, sitting at home every now and again, getting up to do a gig, getting up to do a, you know, rehearsal. It's like, if you want to work, like, the work is there and you can do it. And that's just, you know, we feel very privileged to be given the opportunity to work. So why not take the opportunity? Yeah.
I started thinking about the phrasing of the lyrics of the songs. And I was listening, I played Once in a Lifetime on my show last night. And then I was listening to several of the tracks and I thought, you know, but the phrasing of the lyrics, I think some things have gotten into your heads there. What do you think? And pun intended on the heads. I'm sorry.
If I was to draw a similarity, I would say that I write my lyrics mainly with the intention of making them, I don't want to say good, but accomplished, as far as I'm concerned, in them being just a set of words, you know. Obviously, I always have to think about the fact that they're going to be used to make a song with music. Yeah, there's no point just thinking about the, you know, the big picture. I mean, because you don't do that when, you don't always do that when you, you know, when you're making a song, like when Jack's thinking about what drums to play, whilst you've always got to have the end product in mind, you know you still want to explore, you know, your thing. And so because of that, I would say that the lyrics that I write don't necessarily rhythmically kind of fall off the tongue very easily. They're not always the same amount of syllables in each line and blah, blah, blah. And therefore, Harry has to kind of sometimes, you know, squash a few things together and you know, and I think when and I think when David Byrne sings and writes lyrics, he, I wouldn't say he writes them in a similar way, but he certainly sings them in a way that he doesn't really care about, you know, about how a song kind of vocal should be done. He'll say what he thinks, and it's very kind of conversational. And some of our songs have a song like The Price of Love has very much just a two-way dialogue the whole way through, and it's meant to be like a conversation. It's not meant to be like a song. You know, some of it rhymes and some of it doesn't, and that doesn't matter. And I think maybe that's, I mean, it's not a conscious influence, but they've been such an important band to me and the rest of us growing up and getting into music that, you know, I would not be at all surprised if subconsciously we were very much influenced by different areas of their music.
Despite the fact that the press keeps writing this up as, well, it's dark music, and but it's more about these personal stories that everybody inside them, you know, has this side of them. You know, sometimes they're jolly, sometimes they're sad, but these are personal stories that don't have to be yours as you're writing. These are personal stories that everybody can kind of pull something out of, right?
Yeah, that's one thing that I learned was really important when studying English and particularly kind of poetry and stuff in school, is that when you read the word I in a poem or in a story, you really should never ever ever assume that I is a human author of that story, of that piece of writing. I mean that shouldn't even come to your mind. You know, you should be picturing a fictional character at all times, and if it does relate to the person that's writing it, well then, you know, that's obviously sometimes the case. But and I think certainly for someone writing anything that's, you know, fairly emotionally charged, it's a lot easier to put all that onto a fictional character rather than make it completely about yourself, because that's just a little bit weird.
I would be amazed if, when a lot of people who have not seen you see you after hearing the record, they're expecting a much different band. Now, is that the result of what you set out to do musically, or is it the result of the producers you had?
The thing is it was recorded in a fairly, not an indie way, but what I mean is, for example, we recorded with two producers. One hadn't produced an album in 10 years. The other had never produced an album. He's a fantastic engineer and had the potential to be an incredible producer, and, you know, still does and hopefully will be, but he had never produced an album. We had never made an album, obviously. And we threw ourselves to Belgium into a studio that we had never been to, into a city that we'd never been to, and just got on with it. So as far as it coming out sounding slick and professional, that is 100% down to us and down to the team that we created around us, and not to do with any kind of experience and kudos that we've grabbed off some big time, you know, whoever. We wanted to do things our way and in a very kind of human and personal way. We didn't want this kind of, you know, looming character sitting in the studio basically saying, look at my gold discs and don't question what I'm saying, you know. We were working with people that we could actually physically hit if we wanted to. You know, we were that close to them that there was no kind of boundary and no ego at all. You know, it was really no ego. It's everyone's opinion is 100% as valid as the next. And you know, so that's something I'm very proud of. When people say, you know, the record sounds very accomplished and very well put together and stuff, it's like, well, yeah, that's what you get from hard work and good relationships with the people you work with, not what you get from some kind of celebrity producer or something.
We do a thing called a musical sandwich, and this is how I introduce people to the band. So what it is, it's two of your songs as the bread and songs by other bands in between.